think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm making the statement to set the record straight about the involvement of the Biden family, Vice President Biden, his brother Jim Biden, and his son Hunter Biden in dealings with the Chinese. I've heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden. And everything I'm saying is corroborated by emails, WhatsApp chats, agreements, documents, and other evidence. I was told this past Sunday by somebody who was also involved in this matter that if I went public this information, it would bury all of us, man, the Bidens included. I have no wish to bury anyone. I've never been political. The few contributions I have made have been to Democrats. But what I am is a patriot and a veteran.
Those are the words of Tony Bobulinski, a former business partner of Hunter Biden, and according to him also Joe Biden. Now, he was testifying behind closed doors today. Those remarks are from 3 years ago when he first became known and made public his connections, mainly because Joe Biden was insisting, I know nothing, I have not been involved in any of Hunter Biden's deals. Bobulinski said, I've got proof he's lying. And I'm not coming forward to blow everything up for everyone, I'm coming forward because I'm a patriot and a veteran. I will set the record straight and let the American people decide. And of course, immediately, the leftist was out to torch him and destroy him in any way they could. But as I said, he has throughout the day been testifying behind closed doors. And of course, they hope that's going to hope, the House Republicans hope that will boost their efforts to impeach Joe Biden. Will it? Well, that's going to be a debatable issue, which of course is the other item we have in front of us, reference impeachment. The House did vote to impeach Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security Secretary. He is the first cabinet member impeached since 1876. I'll go over that case in more details later. But first of all, welcome again. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, right here for you, Monday through Friday. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, they all go up as audio and video podcasts later at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook, and numerous other platforms that offer podcasts. As always, we encourage you to listen, but not only listen, but go back over and review some if you want, and share with others. We're at a critical point in this nation right now. I think most of you know that. I know many of you have other things on your mind, obviously. Family first. Try and take care of them. And you keep hearing Bidenomics is working, inflation is not going up as much as it was. Well, it's still higher than it was when Biden came in. And have your wages jumped as much as the prices have? They can tell you, well, the inflation's not that much higher and it's slowing down. But have your wages jumped to the level where they are here? You know what? There's a proposal in California. No surprise there. It comes from California. A legislator representing or pushing the idea that what we need to bring everybody up and help them out is a $50 an hour minimum wage. Oh, yeah. That tells me that even the California Democrats recognize we're in some deep stuff. They're estimating if you're making about $100,000 a year, you're still barely getting by. Now, in California, that's certainly applicable because of the taxes and everything else they throw on. Oh, they're good at manufacturing taxes in California and New York. And also in Washington State, just in case you missed it, just in case you missed the situation, Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, has left the state of Washington, moving everything to Florida. And then once in Florida, he started selling some Amazon stock, something like 2 million shares. And he would have paid taxes on that in Washington State on any profit he made on it, in addition to what the feds are going to take. The state was going to get something like $600 to $700 million. I don't care what you think of Bezos when it comes to DEI and all the other stuff some of them are pushing. He's a smart businessman. He knows, why the hell do I want to give the state another $700,000? That doesn't include some of the cities where he's been holding some of his operations in Washington State. I don't know. Every time I look at something like this, I'm thinking, how did we get to this position? I want to check on for a moment. I had not bothered looking at it as to what his real value is, and I think it's worth us noting because. Let me see. It's not here. Of course, he's got a fiance now. His ex is making a lot of money. Obviously, they made that deal ahead of that time. But net worth for Bezos, this is a guy that shouldn't have to really worry about $600 million, and yet he is. His net worth, according to the latest figures, is about, as of January, $180 billion. $180 billion. And yet he's smart enough to say, I'm not going to drop $600 or $700 million in that state where they would charge me for selling my own stock as a profit. So he goes to Florida. Say what you will about DeSantis in the state of Florida, but does that not make better economic sense? Well, of course it does. So you know what they're going to have to do in Washington State, by the way? They're going to have to create more taxes on other people, and they will. And then the state of California, when they've got a legislator representing inside the state, we need to have a $50 minimum wage just so folks can break even. All right, I'll come back to that in more detail later. Let's go back to the Bobulinski testimony. Now, this is from 2023. Three years ago when he first came out. But today he was behind closed doors of the House as they're questioning about everything that you're going to hear him say here and even more and looking for the actual details and facts because they're trying to build a case of impeachment against Joe Biden. Once again, Bobulinski said, I had personal contact with Joe Biden.
In late 2015, I was approached by James Gillier, whom I had known for many years, about joining him in a deal which he said would involve the Chinese state-owned enterprise, CEFC China Energy, and what he called one of the most prominent families in the United States. I was informed first by Gillier, and then by Hunter Biden, and by Rob Walker, who was working with the Bidens, that the Bidens wanted to form a new entity with CEFC, which was to invest in infrastructure, real estate, and technology in the U.S. and around the world, and the entity would initially be capitalized with $10 million and then grow to billions of dollars of investment capital.
Well, that's going to be a pretty big package, wouldn't you say? Now, He's gonna. I said that was his initial contact with Joe coming up, but that was the initial contact he had to. We're going to bring all of this together, but it's going to be one of the most influential families in the nation, if not the world. And then Bob Alinsky finds out who.
On May 2nd, 2017, the night before Joe Biden was to appear at the Milken Conference, I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Biden's history, the Biden's family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. After that meeting, I had numerous communications with Hunter, Walker, Gilyear, and Jim Biden regarding the allocation of the equity ownership of Sinohawk. On May 13, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman.
My chairman. Almost like they would in China, my chairman. The Sinohawk he's talking about, the sign part was for, Sino was for the Chinese reference. Hawk was added to it because it is Joe Biden's oldest son who died of cancer but did serve in our military. Hunter Biden's brother, his favorite animal was a hawk. So they decided to put Hawk in there in tribute, I guess, to Bo Biden. Well, right now it's turned into a slur and a slander. And again, Bob Alinsky saying, I actually met with Joe. Well, I thought Joe said he never met with anybody. Nobody, nothing, nothing, or no time, nothing. Oh, but there are pictures of various people with him on the golf course. Well, that's just golf, man. Come on, man, you don't talk business playing golf. It's always networking. But in case Bob Alinsky had any ideas that, oh, I see what the game is, but there's a caveat.
On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face-to-face. In fact, I was advised by Gilyear and Walker that Hunter and Jim Biden were paranoid about keeping Joe Biden's involvement secret. I also had a disagreement with Hunter about the funds CSC was contributing to Sinohawk. Hunter wanted $5 million of those funds to go to himself and his family, so he wanted the funds wired directly to an entity affiliated with him. I objected because that was contrary to our written agreements concerning Sinohawk. He said, referring to the chairman, his father, that CSC was really investing in the Biden family, that he held the Trump card, and that he was the one putting his family legacy on the line. He also said to me on May 17th, 2017, that CSC wanted to be my partner, to be partner with the Bidens. During these negotiations, I repeated to Hunter and others that Sinohawk could not be Hunter's personal piggy bank. And I demanded that proper corporate governance procedures be implemented for capital distributions. Hunter became very upset with me. CSC through July 2017 was assuring me the funds would be transferred to Sinohawk, but they were never sent to our company. Instead, I found out from Senator Johnson's September report that the $5 million was sent in August 2017 to entities affiliated with Hunter.
How about that? It was going to be his personal piggy bank, with distributions to the big guy and others. As I said, what you were listening to then was Tony Bob Alinsky, one of Hunter's partners, as he made his statement 3 years ago. But through today, he's been behind closed doors with House investigators. Well, there is another major story, as we mentioned. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas impeached.
Oh. Welcome back. Well, the House voting to impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas yesterday. House Republicans announced 11 impeachment managers. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's office announced Mayorkas' impeachment trial will begin this month. Joining me right now is one of those impeachment managers, Virginia Congressman Ben Klein. He's also a member of the House Judiciary, Budget, and Appropriations Committees. Congressman, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks very much for being here. Can you tell us how this is going to play out in the coming month?
Well, that's going to be up to the Senate in many ways. The timing, the how the trial is conducted, we look forward to presenting the evidence that was accumulated by the Homeland Security Committee to the senators during the trial in whatever form it takes.
In whatever form it takes, they're going to get it to them. Now, the other part of this issue about Mayorkas, you know, the question is, what is the most damning thing you have on Mayorkas that would hold up for an impeachment inquiry? And the answer again coming from Congressman Klein.
What would you say is the most damning evidence?
Well, the existence of multiple reasons why Alexander Mayorkas has ignored the laws of the United States, is where his policies have essentially undermined the laws Congress has passed on behalf of the American people to secure our border. The way that he has misinterpreted parole, the way that he has ignored detention laws specifically, are going to be presented to the Senate, and the senators aren't going to appreciate that the laws they put in place have been ignored by Mr. Mayorkas.
That's a good point. But you are expecting the Democrats to allow this to die in the Senate, right? You don't think he's going to step down, do you?
It would be better for him if he took his own steps to withdraw, but he's not going to do that. Never really has indicated that he wants to step aside. So we're going to lay that evidence out for the senators, and they're going to make their individual choices.
And, of course, if he stepped aside, then Biden would quickly nominate someone just like him, and would probably get that through the Senate. The House, by the way, in voting to impeach him, it's a narrow vote again. They lost a GOP vote. Remember, Santos got kicked out? His seat got won by a Democrat, so the House numbers are shrinking. And the Senate, of course, not likely to do anything about Mayorkas. Even if they did, as I said, Biden would appoint someone else. There is a story that bears attention, and we'll have to get more details as probably tomorrow unveils and overnight, but House Intel Chairman Mike Turner, Republican, Ohio, urging Biden to immediately declassify all information related to what he calls, quote, a serious national security threat. And not saying much more than that. Speculation is circulating, and some of those familiar with it say it could be a destabilizing situation, possible potential foreign threat. Others are downplaying it. So obviously it's one of those things we'll continue to watch for you anyway. Before this hour is over, calls for the tape of the special counsel Robert Hur interviewing Biden be released for everyone to see how competent or incompetent he is. But up next, Biden says, we are at a crossroads. You either support America or you support Trump. Really? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue. Especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings, to mold, to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930, WellingtonSTL.com, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
House Republicans, you got to decide. Are you going to stand up for freedom? We're going to side with terror and tyranny. Will we stand with America or with Trump?
This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is about the American people securing our border and the willingness of our Secretary of Homeland Security to follow the laws of this country. He has not done that, and he has been impeached, the first cabinet officer in over a century to be impeached, and he should be removed from office so that we can protect Americans. You know, Americans are dying every day because of the willingness of the Biden administration to ignore the laws of this country, and it's got to stop.
Those are the words of Virginia Congressman Ben Klein. And of course, in the beginning, you were hearing Joe Biden saying, you either have to choose between America or Trump. No, I don't. I don't have to choose between one or the other. I can choose both. But if I didn't consider Trump was the more viable candidate now standing against Biden, yeah, I'd choose America and Trump. Some will be choosing America and Biden. Hopefully very few. And I want to repeat to you, for those of you who do not like Donald Trump, you don't like his mean tweets, you don't like everything else going on, that's fine. But you got to keep in mind what the opposition is going to be doing. Which kind of takes me back to this report that had surfaced today from the House Intel Committee Chairman Mike Turner, Republican of Ohio, basically stating in a letter sent to congressional colleagues, he has an urgent matter with regard to destabilizing foreign military capability. That's according to some of the sources that have been quoted, and it's related to Russia. The intel apparently listed as very sensitive. So Turner was calling on Biden to declassify all information relating to this. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan reaching out to a meeting with top lawmakers before Turner warned publicly of what he called a serious national security threat. So while he was a member of the Gang of Eight, that may be the top two leaders from each party in each house, they got a briefing. It's on the books, and he felt that I need to make some of this public. I can't talk about it directly because it'd be a violation, but I can say there's something that needs to be unveiled to the general public now. Is he playing politics behind the scenes? Is there something really there? I can't answer the question. And it'll be hours, maybe days, before we really get to the bottom of it. You're going to hear a lot of speculation. Just keep in mind, until we see something concrete, that's what it is. It's speculation. Oh, I could sit here and speculate if you want me to. I'll roll the dice and come up with whatever I want answer-wise, regardless of what the dice show. But Biden's push, as you were hearing there, either between choosing between America or Trump, he's really not even talking about America. He's talking about Ukraine. They're already upset that the Senate Republicans are upset because they don't expect their colleague, GOP colleague in the House, Speaker Mike Johnson, to help them out get this Ukraine thing across the line. Now, keep in mind, those same senators in the GOP who voted against the bill that Mike Johnson was trying to get passed forward, now they want him to bend the knee to them. And I listed the 22 senators yesterday, and a couple of them, I have some real serious questions as to why they did it. One in particular, Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. Now, it might be because in this package that they passed through the Senate includes money for Ukraine, also money for Israel and our allies in the Indo-Pacific, but maybe that's why he said we need to go ahead and do it, because we need to help Israel. And also that maybe not so much of it, the money's actually going to Ukraine, but to help restock U.S. military supplies, which would maybe go to Ukraine. I haven't heard a full explanation yet. But obviously Mike Johnson is pouring cold water on their effort to pass this $60 billion in funding for Ukraine. So now they are pushing and putting pressure on Mike Johnson and Republicans in the House. Last night, Johnson took an unusual step of panning the Senate bill. Last night, moments before the senators took the three crucial procedural votes to advance the legislation, 20 minutes before the vote was to begin, the votes, I should say, Johnson released a statement declaring senators, and I'm going to quote it here, should have gone back to the drawing board to include real border security provisions that would actually help and the ongoing catastrophe. And I'm looking at a piece written by The Hill. They say that was a rare example of the top Republican leader of the House meddling with the top Republican leader in the Senate. That would be Mitch McConnell. He has the title of minority leader of the Senate because Republicans don't hold the number in the Senate. If they did, then he'd be the majority leader. But label him minority or majority, I label him basically lately incompetent. And he needs to be removed. Should have been removed some time ago. And some Republican senators, once they saw that letter, they think Johnson crossed a line with it. That's how upset they are. Republican senators. Let me read you a couple. Senator Kevin Cramer, North Dakota, one of the 22 Senate Republicans who voted for the emergency defense spending package, said, I don't know why he has to comment at all. There's this process where we pass things, send it over. They pass things and send it over. Then you take it up. I do think it's a little bad form. The speaker hasn't traditionally been that strident. Well, maybe we'll reach the case where, as you say in Texas, the rubber hits the road. And maybe now we need to make it clear we're not going to bow until you absolutely shut the border. I know you want all your whole immigration package rediscussed and reevaluated. Fine. But you start by closing the border. No one else gets in. None. Zippo, zero. And certainly not with the help of our government. Those of you watching on our stream, you see that I had to reach out of the picture for something because I've got tons of notes everywhere in front of me. And one of them I had in front of me I had put aside because I didn't think I'd refer to it directly. But since we're talking about the Republicans in the House that are fighting this Ukraine bill, and I mentioned the senators, GOP, in the Senate are fighting against it. I want to go again over the names. Now, these names that I'm going to read to you are Senate GOP members. And they voted to move forward with that big, massive Ukraine package. Yes, it has money for Ukraine, Israel, and our allies elsewhere. But out of this list of 22 Republicans, a couple you could see would probably go whatever Joe wants will do, which, by the way, somebody cautioned me and complained the other day, why you call him Joe or just Biden? It's President Biden. I agree with that, and I used to do that constantly as a news anchor. I never went with the last name that I recall. I might have, but I wasn't intentional because I do believe the man deserves respect by the title. But I do the same thing, and I know I did the same thing once Trump became president. There are times I just refer to him as Trump, so I cut it both ways. But among those you would expect that would probably go along with it, Susan Collins of Maine, Joni Ernst of Iowa. She could have gone either way. Mitch McConnell, obviously. Murkowski of Alaska. Romney of Utah. But then there are a couple, three, that I thought, why did you put your name on advancing this? I want to hear from you directly. At the top of my list would be John Kennedy of Louisiana. Senator, why did you go along with this? And along with him, I'd also want to know Chuck Grassley of Iowa. They're going to need some explanation. I haven't heard it yet. So anyway, we've got Biden telling the American public, you're either going to vote for America, talking about to the House Republicans, or you're going to vote for Trump. There's no one or the other that you can say, well, I want to do both or something. Nope, America. Well, actually, it's Ukraine is what he's really pushing. I'm looking again at, just this morning, Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of California. So he's also in the past been careful not to give Johnson or his predecessor any advice on moving forward through the impeachment. But he did issue a statement today, not mentioning Johnson, but did warn that history would judge Congress harshly if lawmakers gave Russia a decisive advantage by derailing new U.S. military support to Ukraine. I get it. I understand how valuable Ukraine is. You don't have to sell me on that. But what you need to do at your end is close our border. You want to spend all your money and effort on securing a border for some other country? Do that, but secure our border as well. Coming up, maybe we should see that video of the interview with Joe Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Regarding this fitness for office of the president, Americans have been speaking out about the president's mental acuity and the double standards within his Justice Department. On Thursday, as you know, the special counsel confirmed that President Biden mishandled classified materials in a way that presented serious risk to national security. He broke the law, but he's not going to be charged. Why is that? Well, special counsel said that it decided not to indict the president in part because there are significant limitations on his memory, and a jury wouldn't convict him because he would be presented as, quote, an elderly man with a poor memory. That did not inspire confidence among the American people. It's of great concern to us. Ultimately, they're indicting, remember now, the DOJ is indicting one president with politically motivated charges, and they are now carrying the water for another amid very similar allegations. A man too incapable of being held accountable for mishandling classified information is certainly unfit for the Oval Office. And everyone in this room, if you just ask yourself that question, you will come to the same conclusion.
Everyone in that room, as Speaker Mike Johnson was addressing members of the media, and even he's talking to state-controlled media in the room, saying you've got to come to the conclusion if he's not fit to stand trial, competent to stand trial, he's not fit nor competent to run our nation, to be our commander-in-chief. Let me remind you of something very quickly. You remember, I know you remember clearly, for all those who were fighting against Trump before he won election. Do you want this crazed man to have his hand on the nuclear trigger? He's crazy. On what basis? Well, they just made it up. Maybe they didn't like what he did, some business deal. Maybe they considered he was a little shady, whatever. But the Robert Hur report that came out the other day was not mincing words. It was very clear in the sense that the guy cannot do the job. If that's true, if that's true, well, we need to know maybe a little bit more before we make a final decision. And I'm coming to what more we might need in just a moment. But first, welcome aboard again. Here we are on the first hour of Larry Connors USA. And reminding you again, while we're on the air, we are streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, or Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter. I'm looking at a piece written here in Politico by Adam Wrenn. Now, Politico leans left, but it can be factual in some areas. And here's the way this piece is set up. Biden v. Trump. The battle over who's too old, too forgetful, or too confused. It said below that, it's open season on candidates' ages as the general election nears. Then the article begins, it's always headed here. It was always headed here. President Joe Biden in his 80s, Donald Trump not far behind. But in the span of a few days, the wrinkled and sagging reality staring the nation in the face has become the defining issue of the 2024 campaign. And, of course, he jumps quickly into Robert Herr's characterization of Biden as being, as he wrote in his papers, a well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. And, of course, Trump called Biden, saying he has hazy memory, and dusted off his moniker he used in 2020 against him as Sleepy Joe, and he told the crowd, I don't think he knows he's alive. Now, again, some are saying, you know, that's going too far. Why go down that road? Just sit back and let it all happen. You don't need to say a word one except just, do you think he's capable, really? And Republicans are accusing Biden's handlers of committing elder abuse by allowing him to field reporters' questions about the Herr report. Now, the other night when he came out, do you remember that? He came out with mainly to state, Robert Herr has decided they're not going to file charges on me for any mishandling of classified documents. What he did not say is that Robert Herr had found that he was guilty of mishandling documents in his opinion. Of course, that's the prosecutor's view to assume you're guilty, not innocent. I mean, the prosecutors don't just pick out somebody for a crime. Let's take something like a murder. They don't just look around the room and say, okay, it's you. No, they build a fact case for a particular suspect, and that's what they are, a suspect. You can't just determine, not by the prosecutor, if they're guilty, but prosecutors are not going to, if they're doing legitimate jobs, they're not going to prosecute an innocent person, not only for the cost and the time, but it's not going to work out anyway generally. It could and has, unfortunately. But the issue he also raised was the cognitive ability of Joe Biden. And that absolutely set the left off. I'm reading again from Politico. You'll love this statement. A conservative historian, Reagan biographer, Craig Shirley, talked about what was taking place. He said, one, you remember when presidents used to duel or men would duel with single-shot flintlock pistols. Now they're dueling with medical devices for the incontinent. He said you could call this campaign bedpans at 20 paces. A CNN and NN Chiron even recently read, is Biden's age now a bigger problem? Oh, my gosh. The next three words will stop you dead in your tracks. Is Biden's age now a bigger problem than Trump's indictments? That's something really big they got to deal with. And, of course, the Biden supporters are really upset with the fact that Robert Hur put all this stuff in there. But the reason you could say he put it in there was give Biden a defense. We're not going to put him on trial and maybe convict him if we did and he goes to jail the rest of whatever life he has. That would make no sense. No one's going to do it, so there's no sense proceeding. Now, this is a prosecutor making the decision. With the Hillary Clinton case, that was the FBI director making a decision a prosecutor should make. So it was a double-edged sword, as I've said before. One, we're not going to charge Biden with mishandling classified documents. Although we think he did, we're not going to charge him. And the reason we're not charging him, flip side of the blade now, is because he's mentally incompetent to stand trial, basically. And that opens that whole box, is he competent to run the country? Many have been asking that for some time. There's another option that's in play here that might satisfy everyone. If you want to consider Robert Hur's classification of Biden being incompetent, if you want to take it as it's a Republican setup and a slur and a slander, it's wrong. You want to take that position, you're entitled to. If you want to take the position, oh, obviously Biden is nowhere capable. Well, then there is a tape. The 5 hours that he spent with Robert Hur is all on tape. Video, I assume, for sure. Audio, for sure. Probably video as well. So if there's a tape, what's the easiest way to satisfy or prove the point one way or the other? Here is Senator Lindsey Graham.
Here's what I think a rule should be. If there's credible evidence that a president is physically or mentally compromised, the president owes it to the country to straighten it out and resolve that doubt. So release the tapes of the five-hour interview. The special counsel's summary of the interview was unnerving. Every person in the world who's a bad guy read that. I was never more disturbed about our national security after I read that than any time I can remember. Basically says he did it, but no jury would convict him because they don't think he's competent. So I think President Biden, after this statement by the special counsel, not some political hack, owes it to the country to release the tape and take an exam.
All right, release the tape. Free the tape. Release it. Play it. Let the entire public see it. It probably, for the most part, for 5 hours, would be pretty damn boring. Because if you start editing the tape, immediately you're going to be accused of taking it out of context. See, that's a key point if you're doing an interview for news and you're actually trying to be legitimate in your story. The sound bites I choose every day and how what I choose, I trying to make sure I don't take anything out of context that someone says something that you really didn't mean it in the way that I'm going to basically tell you it was said. It's a balance to do it right. And there are times that might make mistakes, unintentional, but there are some in the business that are going to make mistakes intentionally. They want to give you a slanted view. Their decisions made it every process of building a news story. A station's going to go cover a news story. There's the beginning. Are we going to cover it or not? If we're going to cover it, we're going to send our best reporter or one still learning. Are we going to send our best photographer or one who's still learning? And then once the reporter goes out, the reporter's making a decision on what they're doing, seeing photographers picking up video they decide is valuable. Then they come back, and they put the story together, and usually nowadays there is no one overseeing them, so-called a senior editor, like you should have at a newspaper or print, to look over and see if it meets the standards, and basically it just goes on the air. And maybe what got cut left on the cutting floor tells an entirely different story, but the reporter made a decision to do it. And then once the story is even put together, the producer is deciding, is it going to go in the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, or maybe in 5 and 10 or 10 only. I mean, all kinds of decisions are made. The hope is it's made with true journalistic ethics involved. That does not always happen. And, of course, when it comes to getting questions answered from a public relations firm or a spokesperson, you really got to be careful. Which brings us to, remember when the White House had Jen Psaki? Circle back, Psaki. And thinking she's the best the White House could come up with as a White House press secretary? Well, now that we have KJP looking back, I'm thinking, yeah, she was the best. She gets high marks, at least compared to KJP. But now there's an inside battle over the press secretary position, authority, and what they should or should not be doing when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The New York Times is reporting this morning that there's been a tense relationship between Admiral Kirby and Karine Jean-Pierre. She is the White House spokesperson. He was just promoted within the White House to White House National Security Advisor, which elevates him from the deputy assistant up to assistant to the president. And this article talks about how he's frustrated that Jean-Pierre has picked the reporters who ask him the questions at the briefing. And it says that he would one day want to be press secretary. In the article, it also talks about when the president named Karine Jean-Pierre, when they decided she was going to take over for Jen Psaki, they were at a reception to honor Jen Psaki, her departure in May of 2022. And the president was trying, this is according to a few sources that were anonymous that were interviewed, that he tried to reassure Karine Jean-Pierre not to worry about filling Ms. Psaki's shoes and says, you will have an admiral looking right over your shoulder.
Oh, was that reassuring? An admiral's going to be looking over your shoulder as to what you're doing? And you look at how KJP handles herself on questions compared to Kirby, there's a clear difference. Oh, I know someone's going to say, oh, that's racist, Larry. Or you're homophobic because she's lesbian. No, I'm looking at the validity of her responses compared to Kirby. Kirby, I don't always buy either. He's sly and slick as he can be. But at the same time, for him to even be upset with, look, if I'm up here answering questions of reporters, I don't need you to decide that reporter can ask a question. I'll make the decision. It looks like a little slap face fight going on, but it's more than that. Because maybe she's calling on her favorite people that are going to be always nice. And Kirby's willing to take tough questions. Maybe. I let the Fox News go through the whole New York Times story. Just thought you'd hear it from them directly. Well, of course, we continue to watch, as we will, what this House Intel Committee Chairman Mike Turner, Republican Ohio, said. We face a serious national security threat. He was in a Gang of Eight meeting the other day. Cannot talk about it specifically, but some sources are saying it is a serious threat, could lead to a destabilizing situation. It'll be days before we get all actual factual details coming out. But also coming up, we want to rehash a couple things from Bob Alinsky, Hunter's partner. Next hour, remember our pledge, one nation under God.